Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help you find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Hallelujah. Finding life, enjoying life, and winning in life. Nothing worse than the opposite of that. So we're glad. We're glad to be here. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're watching. Glory to God. We've been on a series, and we are going to finish off today. But called Accessing the Good Life. And so our theme scriptures are Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, through him we have access. See, we're talking about accessing the good life. We have access, through him we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:18 says this, for through him, it's because of him, hallelujah, that we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And Ephesians 3:12 says this, in him, or in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says this, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. Why? So that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time. See, doing good works. These paths are filled with opportunities for us to do good works. Hallelujah. Works are not the problem. Works are not our enemy. God's called us to do good works. He's prepared paths for us to do good works. Hallelujah. And so he's prepared these paths, which he has prepared ahead of time for us. Why? That we should walk in them. And the Amplified Classic says this, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. God wants us to live the good life, which he's prearranged and made ready for us to live. This is something that he has set up for us. And so last week we were in the middle of Psalm 37, verse 5. So let's go back to Psalm 37 and verse 5. Psalm 37. We'll read verse 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verse 4 says this, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So this is one of those actions that open up the door. We found out that faith unlocks the door, and delighting in the Lord is one of the ways that we can then open the door, swing the door open, so we can access the things that he has graciously provided and bought and purchased for us. So we see here, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He will begin to drop his desires in our heart. Our desires will begin to change. As we delight ourselves in him, our desires are going to line up or align with him. He's going to start dropping his desires. He's going to start pouring his desires in us. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say in verse 5, so now that we have the desires, and these desires are starting to point us in a direction, or these desires are beginning to reveal a path or a way for us to go or to move or to follow or to proceed on, he said, verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. So what do? We now commit or cast the care and this whole desire, this path that's now laid before us, we commit it to him. Why? Because the odds are very high that we actually don't have all the answers to this new path. Right? We don't know everything about this new path. It's just new. This is a new desire, and it just seems like, Lord, it seems like you're leading in this direction. My desires are kind of pointing me in this direction. So now I commit it to you. I cast the care of it on you, and I'm asking for wisdom, direction, help, whatever it might be, connections, provision, supply, whatever it might be. We commit the way to the Lord. We trust also in him. We talked about that already. And then it says this last part, and he will bring it to pass. And so last week we looked at Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul gave us a few keys. He said to lay hold and to attain, he found in his life, he needed to forget, to reach, and to press. So these were the three things we looked at last week. We need to forget the things that are behind. We need to reach forward or stretch forward. Why? Because there's this new path. There's these new desires. And so we need to stretch forward to the things that are ahead and then press. Press. So pressing lets us know that there's a pursuing. There is some effort that is going to be required and demanded in order for us to walk out this new path and to fulfill these new desires that he has dropped into our heart. And then we find out that we are working with him, right? We're not just working, so we can see we're working with him. He drops, we delight ourselves in him, he drops the desires in, and then we commit them to him, and we trust him, and he leads and guides and directs us, and he brings it to pass. So it's not up to us to bring it to pass. So he doesn't just give us the desires and then say, hey, you know, run off and go do whatever you want. See if you can see how it works. No, he wants to work together with us in getting this desire accomplished. He said, I will bring it to pass. So we're working together with him. So God provides the desire that he wants to bring to pass. So we will commit and trust and delight those things to him so he can bring it to pass. We are working with him. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 14. We looked at this last week. He said, God wants to do something in my life. So he gives me what? He gives me a word. Why? So I can speak the word. So he can, King James says, so he can work the word. He gives me the word and he works the word. He manifests the work. He does the work. And so in line with what we're seeing here in this verse, we can say his doing the work would be him bringing it to pass. Amen? So there's this dance that we are with God. He moves, we move. There's this being in sync with him. We're flowing and working together with him. Amen? It's not just one. It's not just the other. We're working with him together. He's working with us together. There's this flow that he wants. Amen? We are working with him. He is working with us. So now let's go to Psalm chapter 105. Psalm 105. Hallelujah. Psalm 105, verse 19. Actually, let's back up to verse 17. Verse 16 says that there was a famine in the land, and the provision was all gone, talking about Egypt. And verse 17 says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons. Doesn't sound fun. Verse 19, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until the time, the season, that his word. So God gave Joseph a word. Amen. And we notice and we can see in Scripture that it was revealed to him in a dream. God gave Joseph dreams. So we can see this, that until the time that God's word or the dreams came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. King James says it this way. I think it's King James says this. The word tried him. The word tried him. So, you know, many times we hear people say, I tried that and it didn't work, right? Talking about Scripture. Just be a doer of the word. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. No, the fact of the matter is, and it's actually beyond a fact, it's the truth of the matter is, the word tried them and they didn't work. They failed the test. Interesting. People think they're trying the word or trying, I tried that. No. God is the one who's trying us. His word is trying us. He gave him a dream. And that dream, he could either stick with it out, he could hold on to it, he could not give up, or he could give up, he could fail the test, He could back off and say, well, that didn't work. But we actually have it recorded. Amen. We see the beginning of the story, we see the middle of the story, and we see the end of the story. So we can understand that Joseph didn't give up. And because Joseph didn't give up, he was able to see his dream come to pass. See the desire come to pass. Amen? So, Joseph we see, and I'm going to quickly go through this because I've got some other things I want to get into. I'm going to quickly go. Genesis 37, Joseph had a dream. Two dreams, okay? And then we see there were some issues. His brothers were jealous, and so they were going to kill him. And then one of his brothers said, no, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in the pit. And he was going to then kind of get him out later. He came back later, and he wasn't there. Because one of the other brothers decided, you know, we don't want to kill him either. But listen, let's. Where's the profit in killing him? So let's sell him. Let's make some money off our little brother. So they sold him. And so when the other brother, Reuben, came by and he said, where did he go? Well, he's gone, you know. And so he's sold into slavery. And we can see that. Hey, listen, he was hurt. His feet were with fetters and he was laid in irons. He was a slave. We find out he was sold to Potiphar, who was the captain of the guard for Egypt. And interesting, Genesis 39 says this, says that he served him. Joseph served Potiphar. He didn't get in his house and then whine and complain because he was a slave and you know what my brothers did and they hated me and they sold me and oh, life is just so bad. No, the key is that Scripture tells us he served him. And he served him so well that the anointing and the blessing of God continued to function and operate in his life to where Potiphar actually recognized the blessing of the Lord on his life, that everything he put his hand to actually succeeded. Everything he put his hand to turned out well. And so over the process of time, he literally turned everything about his household over to Joseph. Joseph was basically in charge of everything. He worked his way up. We don't know how long that took. But he worked his way up in Potiphar's house and basically was in charge of everything. So Potiphar's wife threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. So she didn't get what she wanted. So they had Joseph thrown in prison because she lied about him. And so interesting, though, that it says that Potiphar threw him into prison, but not just the regular prison, not just kind of, you know, the normal prison, but no, he was thrown in the prison where the king's prisoners went. So it's very possible that Potiphar actually was very aware of his wife's lifestyle. This may not have been the first time she tried something, and he might have been very aware of what was going on. So partly to keep peace at home somewhat, and to also protect Joseph, he sent him to this more upper scale prison. All right, and so it wasn't regular prison. It was different. So we see that he'd been there for a while, and the same thing happened. The warden of the prison saw how Joseph lived and functioned and operated, how he served, and he kept giving him more influence until he basically was running the prison. And so a couple other prisoners had just shown up for a while. And so interesting thing. Genesis chapter 40. He comes in and sees these two guys. There was the butler, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. I mean, you know, the cupbearer and the baker or something like that. They were in there. When he came in there one day and he goes, "Hey, what's up, guys? Why you look so sad?" In other words, to Joseph, being in jail is not enough to make you sad. Interesting. Why are you so sad? Why the sad faces? I said, well, we had a dream and we don't understand the dream. He said, well, tell me about it. And so then he interpreted the dreams for them. So the one guy, they both got their dream, you know, interpreted. They both got their dream came to pass. And so one of them, the cupbearer, was returned or restored back to his position. And Joseph said this to him. He said, remember me when you get back to Pharaoh. Scripture tells us it took 2 years till Pharaoh had a dream. And the cupbearer went, oh yeah. 2 years later. And so we see in chapter 41 of Genesis that when he, because then Pharaoh called him, and so he got the call from Pharaoh, and so he went to Pharaoh, and the Bible says that was 13 years. He turned 30, and the father gave him the coat when he was 17. So over 13 years had come and gone. A lot of stuff has happened. Not necessarily a lot of positive stuff, I mean, when we kind of look at the story, but we see how he was faithful. He held the dream. He didn't let go of the dream, right? He served wherever he was, and he was happy. Why are you so sad? I'm in here. I'm not even supposed to be here. But he was happy. He wasn't sad and whining and complaining. It lets us know a little bit about his character. But he held on to the dream. He held on to the dream. And let's go to Psalm 40 or Genesis 42. Genesis 42, and we'll just kind of pick up the end of the story. Genesis 42, we see verse 6. Now Joseph was governor over the land, all of Egypt. And it was he who sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Verse 8. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered. He called back to remembrance. He recalled. He brought it once back up to memory. He remembered. Huh? He hasn't lost the dream. He continually has held on to it. And this moment, he brought it back up one more time, and he says he remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. Hallelujah. So the Lord drops desires in our heart. It's very important that we don't give up on them. We do what? We commit them. We trust. And he will bring it to pass. Can you see how Joseph walked with God, and there were some key things in his life that I just highlighted that continued to keep him moving forward so God can continually be working on his behalf to bring it to pass? 13 years. You know, sometimes people would give up after 13 hours, 13 days, maybe 13 months. Wow, I tried that. No, this is not a thing about trying it. It tried him. That's what we saw in Psalm. That's what we saw in Psalm 105. The word, the dream, tried him. Was he going to stick with it? Was he going to continue to believe it? Was he going to hold on to it when he was thrown in the pit? When he was sold into slavery? When they had fetters and irons? You know, when he was chained down? Was he going to hold on to it? Was he going to stick with it? When Potiphar's wife lied about him and he was thrown in jail. It seems like he's moving up. And, you know, you take two steps forward and all of a sudden one step back. All of a sudden now he's in prison. And then he's moving up again. He didn't enjoy the whole thing, but he had an attitude of joy. He had an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness to God. He didn't. You read his story when he talked to the butler. He said, listen, I'm not even supposed to be here. I've done nothing wrong. When you get back to Pharaoh, mention him to me. Because I'm not even supposed to be here. It's just not right. It's long, it's hard, it's not fun. You know, their jails back then are not like jails now. Or, you know, Christmas, you get your turkey and your mashed potatoes and your green, your orange carrots. It's not like a jail now. Even though at the high scale, you know what, the king's prison or jail, it's not even close to what we got right now. It's tough, it's hard. But he did not give up. He refused to let go. Why? He continued to remember the dreams. He continued to trust the Lord. And he had to do what? He had to commit it to the Lord regularly. I just cast the care on you. Lord, I don't understand. I mean, I'm here and I'm here, and then I find myself here and I find myself here, and I don't see how this is working out. But I trust you. Amen? So it's the same with us. I mean, we're not just talking about Joseph here. We're talking about you and I. Amen? We're talking about us. So Joseph recognized his brothers. They didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them. Let's continually remember and stir up those desires that God has on the inside of us. Let's go to Romans chapter. Let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk, you are there. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it shall not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come to pass. In other words, the word tested Joseph. Until the time that his word in his dream came to pass, the word tested him. It tried him. He was on trial. He was on trial. His actions, his choices, he was on trial. Not the word, not the dream. God's not on trial here. Amen? We're on trial. Because accessing the good life is a result. Yeah, that's right. That's good. Accessing the good life is a result. It's called harvest time. It's called justice, where God sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. In other words, it means in order for him, God, to legally do this in our life, we must pass the test. It must be legal. If God just goes poof and poof for a couple people, but doesn't poof, poof for anyone else, that would make him a respecter of persons. So in order for him to do good for everybody, he has made a level playing field and saying, this is what you need to do. Pass the tests. Harvest time. Harvest time is a result, seed time and harvest. Some people want to harvest and they haven't planted any seed. Some people want to harvest because they've just planted seed. But the Bible says that God is the one who increases what? Seed sown, watering the seed. So there's seed, there's sowing, and there's watering. And God gives the increase. Some people just want to sow some seed, and they don't want to water. They don't want to continue to feed and water that word and continue to remember what God said in regards to that. They just want, just let me throw some seed in the ground and then like, poof, let's have a harvest. No, there's this process. There's this process. So Habakkuk says this, write the vision, make it plain. So vision, dream, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. The vision is yet for an appointed time. An appointed time. Joseph, his appointed time took 13 years. 13 years. Remember I told you the story about, remember Mark Hankins talked about Tiger Woods, and Tiger Woods was, you know, the hole was over there, but he putted this way up the hill and then down the hill and went in the hole. And God said, do you think I can putt as good as Tiger? And so sometimes it's a matter of, you know what? He said, you know, if it seems like I'm putting you this way, don't sweat it. because I can see the lay of the land. I know where things are going. So that's one analogy. Here's another analogy I just thought about yesterday was pool. Has anyone ever played pool? Billiards, pool? Okay, so you know, you've got your cue ball, you got the white ball, and let's say you want to put another ball in a hole. And so sometimes you can't just do it straight on because, you know, the ball you want to hit in the hole is not in line. They're not lined up. So you have to hit the ball that you want in the hole. You might have to hit it on the side. You have to get the angles right. Right? You have to get the angles right. And so it's very much, you know, mathematical. It really is just 100%. Pool is just 100% mathematical. It's just, you're just figuring out the angles. I'm going to hit my white ball and I'm going to hit it on this part of that ball and it's going to make it go that way. It just hit it here and it'll bounce that way. Now, so God says, listen, I want to get you over there. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. All of a sudden, you know, over there. But we find ourselves over here, and so God's got us going this way to get us over there. That's kind of funny. But now here's another thought I had. I said, now what about when it seems like the devil throws something in? For example, we look at Joseph. There seemed to be a few monkey wrenches thrown in there. Okay, so what happens? Let's say, I've done this, playing pool. I want a certain ball. So let's say the number 12 ball in the side pocket. But I actually have no clear view, and so I'm going to have to hit one other ball and get it to bounce to hit another ball. Sometimes you got to do some multiple bounces. You ever done that? Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Sometimes it's not just simple straight, and sometimes it's not even simple. All of a sudden, you find out that you just got bumped. The devil shows up. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. The Bible says that God is working on our behalf, doing what? To work all things together for our good. But at the same time, the devil's out there working. He's working all things together for our bad. Jesus said it this way. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So not everything that happens to us is God. Sometimes there's just stuff that happens. Sometimes there's stuff that happens because we just made a stupid choice. We didn't listen to God, but then there's other times where the devil just kind of shows up and he just kind of throws something in there. And so what happens when we all of a sudden get bumped one way? God is able. So if we get bumped one way, that he can actually bump a couple more balls to get us in the side pocket. It may look like we're kind of going off center, and it's not off track, and it may not even be God that's making us go off track, but if something's off track, he's able to bounce and ricochet, come off a couple more rails, and boom, get us in the side pocket. Amen? He's able to do that. So we see here, there's an appointed time, but in the end, it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, right? It may take a while. Joseph was 13 years. But he said, listen, wait for it. Terry, wait for it. Though it takes some time, wait for it. One of the ways wait can be translated in the Hebrew is bind. In other words, bind yourself, tie yourself, hook yourself up to that dream, that desire, that vision. The desire that God given. Hold on to it. Don't let it go. Tie yourself to it. Keep yourself tied up in it. Keep yourself bound to it. Keep yourself, don't let it go. Amen? Don't let it go. You know, if you've got a dog, you have a leash. But there are some people that when they have larger dogs, they actually tie the dog around their hips. They got the leash that goes around there. So all of a sudden, they've got much more body weight. The larger dog might can pull the leash out of their hand, surprise them, all of a sudden they're walking along nicely, and all of a sudden, boom, they take off and off they go. So they've got it wrapped around their waist. You know, all of a sudden it's less easy for doggy to take off and then drag you. Now, if it's your young kid that's doing it, then the dog weighs twice as much as the kid. It can be a different story. Kid dragging you down the street. Hey, The dog's taking the kid for a walk. But can you see how, can you say, hold on to it. Tie yourself to it. Hook yourself up to it and don't let it go. Glory to God. Because though it tarries, wait for it. Bind yourself to it. Tie yourself to it. Hold on to it. Why? Because it will surely come. It will surely come. It will. It's coming to pass. If we keep walking with Him, it's coming to pass. Like the pool. I mean, we may be bumped here. We may be bumping off of here. But it may take a journey. It's like the putting. Uphill and downhill and pace. And sometimes it doesn't happen. It's not like a 2-foot, 6-inch putt where you just take some. Sometimes it's going up, up, and down, and down. It may take a little while. But God's able to see. God's able to work. If we're working with Him, He says, it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, it will not come to pass. Isn't that good news? And let's go to Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I keep coming back to this. This is something the Lord has just keeps highlighting numerous times, and so we've already heard it a number of times. But we see here, verse 8 says this, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? So verse 7 says that God will avenge His own elect who cry or shout to Him the shout of faith and praise day and night. This is part of the way, this is one of the ways that we continue to remember and to wait on it and to bind ourselves to it, we stick with it. We stick with it. This is one of the ways that we stick with the dream. This is one of the ways we stick with the word that He's given us. This is one of the ways we stick with it, is the giving Him the shout of faith and praise for what He has said day and night, though He bears long with us, though He's patiently waiting for us. See, here's the trial. We're passing the test. We're passing the test. Over the process of time, we're passing the test. God's working. God's working, and we're not giving up. God's working, we're working with Him, and we're not giving up. It will surely come to pass if we don't give up. And that's what verse 1 says. He spoke a parable to them, saying that we ought always to pray and not to lose heart or faint. See, when we faint, we don't get the results. We don't get the promise. We don't get the answer. When we faint, we get stuck with whatever we have. So that's why verse 8 says, listen, I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith on the earth? Will He find someone that is persuaded, that it has conviction, who's relying and obeying and trusting Him? Is He going to find someone who's confident and has assurance that this is coming to pass? The Lord's working, the Word's working, the angels are working, glory to God. He's working. It's coming to pass. We're working together. And so we're not discouraged or distracted because we're going uphill and then we're coming down. We're not distracted because we got bumped one way and all of a sudden it just seems like nothing's moving in the direction I thought it was supposed to go. God sees the big picture. The big picture. You know, when you stand at the pool table, you see the whole pool table. And if you can see the picture in your mind's eye and you pick every angle and bump and bounce, you can see the whole thing. But if you get a zoomed in view on camera and all you see is the white ball and the next ball, you're thinking, that is not the side pocket. The camera view is literally pointing at the corner pocket. I mean, and sometimes we get so narrow viewed and we just see one thing and we can't figure out, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's not working. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. God, that's not going to work. God sees the whole table. He says, I can see. I got it all figured out. I got this. Just commit, trust, and I'll bring it to pass. But you got to work with me. Amen? We got to work with Him. He says, don't get in my way. Work with me. Hallelujah. Sometimes we can be our biggest problem. It's not the devil. We can be our biggest problem. Let's not be our biggest problem. Let's be God's best helper. Amen. We're working with him. He's working with us. Let's do that. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 says, "We know all that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." Now, I read this, and if you actually read this, you actually understand it doesn't say anything about God even doing the work. It says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose." So we understand that it's God working, but we also understand, and I think sometimes this is where we get things mixed up, is it's us working with him. And sometimes people get the idea that everything that happens to them is God doing something for their good. That's not true. Not everything that happens to us is God, but God is saying here that we know, and if we back the bus up a little bit, we're going to find out that verse 26 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses or our inability to produce results, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and we know that all things work together for good." So again, part of having all things work together for us is our being able to the opportunity and the willingness and the practice of praying in other tongues. Praying in the Spirit helps us pray out these things ahead of time. We do not know what's coming. God may say, we have this desire, we delight ourselves in the Lord, he's dropped a desire in our heart, and so there's this path, so we commit the way to him, but all of a sudden, we don't know what's coming. We don't know the fine details. It's not necessarily, and most of the time, it's not necessarily a straight path from A to B. There's this meandering. It can meander because of situation and circumstances. It can meander because of our choices. It can meander because God's setting things up. He's putting things in motion. And sometimes there's other people and other things involved, right? It's not just us and him. That's the thing about, that's the thing about healing is it's, healing is between us and him. And sometimes there's wisdom in regards to stuff with our physical body that we need to know, but prosperity is a little bit different. The faith process is the same, but our prosperity a lot of times has other factors involved. Sometimes it has other people involved. You know, give and it shall be given, or that has to do with, you know, so sometimes other people. Keith Moore had a friend that phoned him and said, "Can you just, you know, agree with me about this financial need?" I said, "Yes." Keith Moore, then prayed about it afterwards and said, "You want me to sow? You want me to sow or give into that?" And the Lord said, "No, I'm working on someone." Within a week, the Lord said, "I want you to give." And he said, and then Keith said, "I thought you said no." He said, "Yeah, but they're not going to be obedient." You know, so sometimes other people are involved. And so sometimes we're waiting on other people to be obedient or not obedient. All of a sudden that can hinder and slow things down. Happy Caldwell, the Lord told him to start his church and to do some specific area of ministry. I think it was with the television. And he said, "Why are you asking me to do that?" And he said, "I actually talked to other people and they won't do it." "How many people have you talked to?" What number? Who? What number am I in line?" And the Lord said, 7. "I've talked to 6 other people or 7 other people and they are not going to do it. So I want you to do it." Oh, right? So sometimes it's not just us and him for some things. Sometimes there's other people involved. And that can create issues. And we can see in Joseph, we can see the people became the issue, right? His brothers became an issue. Potiphar's wife became an issue. There is just, you know, and the guy, the cupbearer, he forgot. Oh, yeah. And forgot. 2 years later, oh, yeah, I remember a guy. You know, I know a guy, you know. So it's like other people. So it's not always a straight line. So let's not get discouraged and let's not give up and let's not faint because it doesn't look like it's happening straight line and overnight. Let's just know that according to the scripture, we're praying in the Holy Ghost. And so there's some things when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, we can actually deal with stuff ahead of time. God said he'll make the crooked ways straight. He'll take the crooked paths and make them straight. So he can straighten stuff out. You know, it doesn't have to be as crooked as it could be. It can be straighter. Amen? We pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray things out ahead of time. We can pray His perfect will. We're praying out His wisdom and the His will for our lives. And we can deal with some stuff ahead of time. It's better to deal with stuff ahead of time than when it shows up. Right? When it shows up, then all of a sudden we're under pressure. And sometimes when we're under pressure, it's harder to hear from the Holy Ghost. It's because all of a sudden we can have this moment of a fearful thought, and we literally bypass our brain, we bypass our heart, and we just make a stupid choice. You know, so I'm not the only one who's done that. I'm sure we're all aware of that. Afraid, and then just we didn't even think. I didn't think. I just, and then you know what? You know, we think about this. It's like, well, I didn't even have to do that. I didn't even have to. Why did I do that? You know, so it's just easier to pray ahead of time and deal with stuff. And then as we pray ahead of time, and maybe everything's not dealt with. But you know what? The thing is the Lord can prepare us. He can give us wisdom. He can give us wisdom. I remember, what have we got here? Okay, this is not going to work. Hallelujah, He can give us wisdom. He can prepare us ahead of time for what's coming. Let me just say that without getting into a story. He can prepare us ahead of time, and we'll get into the story another time. Glory to God. So, God is working. He's working. He's working. We're working with Him. He's working with us. All things can work together for our good. Not everything that happens is God, but He can take everything that happens and He can take that crooked road and make it straight. Amen. We get bumped. He can still bump us a couple more times and get us right back in the right place at the right time. Amen. The devil's not big enough. He doesn't see the whole table. He only sees, let's get him off track, but God, He can get us back on track. The devil's not smart enough to think 2, 3, 4 balls down the row. No. God can figure it all out. If we're working with Him, walking with Him, He will get us in the right place at the right time. Glory to God. He's working. God's working. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says this, "But I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, because God loves a cheerful, merry, prompt to do it, willing giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you." Amplified says, God is able. Okay, let me stop here. God is able. God is able. God is able. What does that mean? That means God's ability is working, right? God is able. That means His ability is at work on our behalf. God is able to make all grace abound toward us. So what does that mean? That means God's ability is at work on our behalf, making every grace. And I like the Amplified, every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. God is working. God is able. God is able, meaning His ability is at work on our behalf. What? Making every favor and earthly blessing come to us in abundance. So we're always having all sufficiency in all things and have an abundance for every good work. Verse 10. Now may He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness or your benevolence. While you are enriched or rich and wealthy in everything for all liberality which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So, what do we see here? We see here that His ability is at work on our behalf. So we're working with Him, He's working with us. Right? In order for Him to multiply and increase, He supplies seed. But now He supplies the seed. We need to do something with the seed so He can multiply and increase. If we don't do something with the seed, He can't multiply and increase. So can you see this dance? Again, He moves, we move. There's this working together. He gives seed to sow, we sow it. He multiplies, He increases. There's this working in sync, this functioning and operating in sync with Him. This flowing together with Him. Why? So we can be rich and wealthy in everything for all generosity. Hallelujah. We're willing, we're purposeful, we're cheerful, we're intentional in regards to our giving. We're liberal, we're generous. And He's able. He's able. His ability is able to work on our behalf. What does that mean? That means He wants to. But his ability needs us working with Him so it's able to work. So if we're not working with Him, His ability is not able to work on our behalf. But if we're working with Him, allowing Him to work with us, if we're working together, His ability is able to work on our behalf. Hallelujah. Habakkuk, let's go back to Habakkuk again. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3. Verse 17 says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, though labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flocks may be cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stall. That sounds like it's a bad day, a bad week, a bad month. That's a bad year. Verse 18, yet. Now that word yet is an aggressive, rebellious word against the lack and the things that are not turned out so well. The word yet means I don't care. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. I don't care. And the thing is, if we don't care, the reason is because we cast the care on Him. Right, we commit and cast the care on Him. I don't care because He has it. So I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Can you see Joseph? Thrown in jail. I don't care. Sold into slavery. I don't care. Thrown in the pit. I don't care. He didn't enjoy it. Enjoying it and caring are two different things. He didn't enjoy it, but he did not take the care. I don't care. I don't care. Thrown in the prison. I don't care. Guys, what? You're in prison. Why are you look so sad? In other words, prison is not big enough to make you sad. You're in prison. I don't care. I'm not going to get sad about it and whine and complain. I don't care. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He's my source. He will make me walk on, He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. Joseph was governor of Egypt, and his brothers came, bowed down before him. They didn't recognize him, but he recognized them, and he remembered the dreams that he had. God made him walk on his high hills. Made him walk and enjoy his dreams. Hallelujah. Made him walk on his high hills. He can do the same for us. But we need to not give up and not be scared away by situation and circumstances. Yet, I will rejoice. This is going to help us access the good life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. In our last few minutes, we're going to zip through here. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to 4. It says this, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, the Sabbath rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. In other words, they didn't act on it. They heard the word, but they didn't act on it. And the Bible calls that, if you read chapter 3 and 4, the Bible calls that doubt and unbelief, disobedience. Verse 3, for we who believe do. Believers do. We need to understand that. Believers do. Believers act on the word of God. And what does our acting do? It literally opens the door. He who believes, for we who believe do enter the rest. See, it's the doing that causes us to enter into rest. It's the doing that causes us to enter into that Sabbath rest. It's the doing. We believe, but if we don't do anything, there is no profit. But if we believe and then choose to do and act on the word, it takes us into this place called rest. Doing the word puts us into the rest, according to the word of God here. As he has spoken, so I swore my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works, God's work, his plan, was finished from the foundation of the world. It was finished, it was complete, it was done. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. He rested from his works not because he was tired, he rested from his works because they were finished, complete, and done. And so then if we go to verse 9, it says, there remains therefore a rest, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. A Sabbath rest. Supernatural rest and double portion. Sabbath rest for the people of God. We access it by believing and doing, verse 3 says. And so verse 10 says, for he who has entered his rest, because we believe and do, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We cease from our works not because we're tired, but because they're finished, complete, and done. So verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent, labor. King James says labor. New King James says diligent. Diligent is an action word. Labor, work, effort. Be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience or unbelief. We need to be diligent to enter the rest by believing and doing, believing and acting. And as we believe and act, we too, verse 10, cease from our works as God did from his. We step over into this area of faith and acting, faith and believing, where we can see it's finished, complete, and done. Because of what Jesus has done for us, in him, who we are in Christ, has already been finished, complete, and done. In order for us to enjoy and access the good life, we're going to have to see that it's already ours, but now there's things that we need to do to work together with him to enjoy what he has already bought and purchased for us. Verse 12. We're going to cease from our works as God did from his. Why? Verse 12. For the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. See, the word is alive. We need to put the word to work. He gives us a word, we speak the word, we act on the word. And God said he works the works and brings it to pass. That's what Jesus said. God gives me the words, I speak the word, he does the works. This is what we've been talking about the last two services. He will bring it to pass. We're working together with him so he can bring it to pass. Amen? Accessing the good life is not just all up to God, and it's not just all up to us. There is a working together with him to enjoy and access everything he has for us. Jeremiah 1:12 says this. God says to Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. Amen? He's watching over his word to perform it. So God's working. He's working on our behalf. He is watching over his word to perform it. And let's just finish off with Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. They went. He said, these signs will follow those that believe. And we see in verse 20, it says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. God works with and confirms the word. God works with and confirms the word. Amen? And so the word them is italicized. He worked with them and confirms his word. So the word italicized means it's not in the original Greek. It's just put in there. So we could say this. He works with the word. He works with and confirms the word. If we are going to work with the word, he will work with us. I mean, he worked with them because they were working with the word. He will work with us if we work with the word and act on the word. Amen? So he works with and confirms the word with signs following. So we have found that the key to access all that God has graciously given us is faith. And now we have learned a few ways to turn the key and open the door to access what he has graciously given and provided for us called the good life, right? Thoughts lead to actions. Thoughts lead to feelings. Feelings lead to actions, and actions lead to results. In order to get the results of the good life, we're going to have to change or increase our thoughts. So we can change the way we feel, so it can change the way we act, and so it can change the result that we get. We must renew our minds with the word of God to get God results. So, speak the word, and then take action in line with that word. Why? Because accessing the good life demands action. Accessing the good life demands, or we could use the word requires, it requires action. This is how we work together with him. So, praise, joy, delighting, committing, trusting are some of the faith actions that God has given us to access the good life. Hallelujah.